And with the familiar tones of AC/DC, you and I begin another episode of Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nason. It is Sunday, June 29th. Hard to believe. Final weekend of June 2025. On to July. And I come to you coast to coast, from the North Pole to the South Pole, from the beaches to the sticks. And this very show comes to you every single day on WrestlingObserver.com. The Sports Byline Broadcast Network, all of our over-the-air affiliates, AM and FM, iHeart, TuneIn, other apps, everywhere you get in signal in this fine world, you can hear my voice. And I'm very appreciative of that. Of course, special shout out to those listening on the American Forces Network around the world. Thank you for your service each and every day, especially in perilous times as we still find ourselves in different parts of the world. I'm going to be with you for the next hour, filling in once again for Andrew Zarian, who should be back next week. And we're going to talk about all the news of the last day or so and the week and the weekend in pro wrestling. Some of the stuff hasn't been chatted about that much. And what else could we start with but Night of Champions? Yes, WWE's recent PLE, most recent PLE, happening on Saturday in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, in case you hadn't heard. John Cena, still your undisputed WWE champion. I almost said universal champion, but that's a different belt for a different time. CM Punk had quite a weekend, didn't he? We'll chat about that, including a column I wrote about him. It's on our website, WrestlingObserver.com, right now. We're going to, of course, talk about John Cena's last remaining matches. He's got 16 appearances left. And I tried to kind of plot some out. You and I will kind of play around with that a little bit and see we can figure out. Of course, AEW, big milestones coming up this week with AEW Dynamite 300 and also Collision 200. We'll chat more about that in just a few minutes. And we'll also talk about Busted Open Radio and some of the changes in terrestrial radio and what it means for wrestling coverage, MMA coverage, and the like. We have a ton of stuff to get to. I cannot wait to get started with you. So stick around, because coming right back after this is more Wrestling Observer Live. Back with you, Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nason, contributing editor to WrestlingObserver.com, and it is Sunday, June 29th. Happy June. Almost at July 4th. Hard to believe. What a cliche that I say. that was the weather people like to talk about, the fact that time moves so quickly, especially in the summertime. But hopefully you guys are having a great summer, have a great summer plan, different events, shows, concerts, all those type of things. I don't think many of you probably traveled to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia for WWE Night of Champions. Maybe you did. If so, hit me up at Josh Nason on Twitter or Blue Sky. Let me know how your trip was. Assume you're back safe and probably a little bit tired if you did. But for the rest of us that watched on Peacock or Netflix, if you live around the world, quite a show. Not one that I think is going to see the top of the charts in terms of their favorites of the year when it comes to WWE. But it had some moments. We have a king. We have a queen, just like Homecoming. We also have a new U.S. champion. We'll get to all that real quick and run through some of the quick results and so on. But you probably know them by now. The biggest of which, of course, is that John Cena, still our WWE champion, defeating CM Punk in almost 30 minutes, I do believe. And that was the main event of the show. A lot of discourse going up to that. We'll talk about that in a sec. But John Cena, still a heel. He was, of course, cheered. But the same thing we're going to see till the end, until the turn back to babyface. And I think we're going to be right back to where we probably should be as he comes out in the end of his career. But defeating CM Punk, this was a classic kind of WWE main event style now, and where you have a lot of interference, a lot of different people coming in, ref bumps, and ultimately the bad guy winning in the end. That's what happened here with Cena picking the win over CM Punk. Seth Rollins was involved. Bronson Reed was involved. Sami Zayn, Penta, again, the ref bump. Charles Robinson sprinting. All the things you want to see. At least most people want to see in this era. But, John Cena leaving Saudi as champion. And CM Punk did not get the job done. Do you like this? Do you like WWE style? When it comes to main event matches like this, I don't. I like some change of pace, and we do get them from time to time, but I don't like it being predictable when on a Raw or SmackDown we're seeing a big match, a big main event end of DQ, and you kind of know it's coming. There's going to be some sort of screwy finish, or that main events are going to involve a ton of people and run-ins and things like that. And again, we don't see them all the time, but it feels like we see them a majority of the time. And I also see this in other promotions as well. It kind of bleeds over. I see it on the indies. I saw it last night. And what, you know, we're inching and have been some promotions so far away from the aspect of a one-on-one or two-on-two, whatever you want to call it, and just have the people in the ring involved and not have to have people, like I've seen, where looking to the back at about the three-quarter mark, give or take. And really, you know, Dave Meltzer said it, other people have said it too. It's not original thought, but I don't like the fact that, you know, we're taking in these matches and we know that the first 90% of it is just the filler to the end. And that's kind of a bummer. It's a bummer for the performers. It's a bummer for the fans that want to kind of see some different things. But again, maybe WWE fans, they don't care. They're packing the venues. They're packed last night. You know, the rings are what they are, all that stuff. Maybe they don't care. But when you start seeing it kind of bleed over in other industries like we have for some time, it's not great. And also not great was, I laugh. Look, I was not offended about CM Punk going to Saudi Arabia. I knew it was going to happen. Everyone knew it was going to happen. I think I might have talked about last week's show. Not surprised. And I'm not going to call him a fraud because I don't think he's a fraud. I think that people change over time. Their values change. Their morals change. Their approach to life and how they see things change. But this was, it was, we knew he was going to go. And everyone goes now. It's not seen as a big deal. The furor online has kind of subsided. People still kind of grumble and complain, but it's not as anti-Saudi and anti-WB as it was a few years ago when they were going. Obviously, the murder of the journalist, Khashoggi, I believe his name is. Pardon me for mispronouncing the name. But it's just a much different time now. But then Friday, at the Night of Champions kickoff event, when he went out of his way. And I don't know if this guy was a plant or not. I was listening to a quick recap on Post Wrestling. I think Dave and Brian might have made suspect this as well, that this guy was a plant because they wanted to get him to get this apology out there. And Punk was getting booed, mostly, I think, because he's taking on Cena. And this is obviously the last time Cena's in the country. And then Punk does this whole, basically apologize to the guy and then says, I also apologize to Saudi Arabia. And got a huge, big pop, of course. This is awesome chant justified. No, that did not happen. But it was a moment that he decided to keep going. He kept on talking and said that, you know, people make mistakes and all this stuff, and really just bent over backward to let people know that he was all in on Saudi Arabia and happy to be there. And gosh darn it, he loves this place, right? Without saying that. But essentially he did. And I wrote a column about that you can find on the website now. And I just thought about a lot of the weekend. I was thinking about writing something going into it, but then I'm like, you know what? Everyone goes to Saudi Arabia. What's the point of trying to rail against us at this point? John Cena goes to Saudi Arabia, right? And he's got a movie career and a much larger career than Punk does in terms of the outside. And I mean, even Sami Zayn is going, and Kevin Owens, I'm sure, would have been there, and he's been there before. And he had opted out a while back, I believe. But everyone goes now. The women go and so on. So, but Punk, just the way he kind of went about it was so brazen and such a change of pace to who he is and who he thought he is and who he's been kind of pitched as this character for, what, two decades, give or take, a little bit more, a little bit less, as this, again, the voice of the voices. Kind of, you remember that Cena promo from a couple weeks ago? And he's saying Mr. TKO, and, you know, he's not against the billionaires because he's a millionaire himself. And it's so interesting that promo, essentially that person he was talking about was there all along, I guess, and really came to life in Saudi Arabia. And the column I wrote, I think the headline was his new brand of authenticity. Because this whole thing for his whole career, at least, you know, the whatever, has been, he's so authentic. You know, he's going to fight against the machine, rage against the machine, if you will. He's going to be the guy to stand up, the voice of the voiceless, all those types of things. For a run, maybe he was. He was, and that's how people perceived him. Who knows if he was that guy the entire time. But he stood up for what he believed in and all these things. And then, you know, 6 years happened. 2019, he did an appearance on Pardon My Take, which is this huge, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, sports podcast in the world. And said, essentially said, I would not go. He's like, I wouldn't do these Saudi shows. And they were talking this back in 2019. He did the Miz tweet in January 2020. And then fast forward to June 2025, he says first trip, and he says that he's down with Saudi Arabia. No problems with him. Apologize to him. So what changed? When did it change? When did he have this grand epiphany? Should we care? I guess not. But I think if you're a Punk fan, and if you're to admire him and then a devotee like he has, unlike a few other wrestlers out there on the scene and all time, he has this draw of being that guy. And he's wore the Chicago Teachers Union. I pulled this out of the comments. Well, he's wore the shirts of Chicago Teachers Union. He stood up for trans rights, abortion rights, and so on. Do we believe him? You know, could those opinions flip in the next couple of years? Who knows? Everything is up for grabs now. And I think he did his brand a lot of damage. And I think the protective cradle of WWE fans are going to do just that, protect him. But there certainly wasn't a positive outcry when he made those comments on Friday. And a lot of people were very shocked by, including myself. And I shouldn't have been. And self-preservation mode. He wants a job. He has a job. He wants a job for life in WWE. He wants to stick around. He's going to do whatever it takes. He's in a great spot. He's almost in his 50s. He's 47, I believe, 46, 47. A body that is slowly breaking down, as all of our bodies do. I'm 47 myself. And look, this is someone that wants a job for a long time. And this is how he's going to keep it. We'll talk more about that. We'll talk more about Cena and his remaining year. All kinds of other stuff coming up. Stick around. Wrestling Observer Live coming right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live for Sunday, June 29th is back. My name is Josh Nason. Thank you so much for joining me on this warm Sunday, where I am anyway. Hopefully it's warm where you are. Not too warm. I had like 105 here in New Hampshire last week. 105 in New Hampshire. Or felt like 105. You believe that? Boy, hiding inside from the hot sun. To wrap up the CM Punk discussion, again, I think his brand is now, he's got a new brand, and we'll see where it goes. And people can always, his critics, his haters, you can always point back to this moment and say, look what you did. And this is now his scarlet letter. Sounds strong, but to some it will be. And it's just part of the thing of people can say he's a fraud. People can say he's a liar, or just, you know, they can say whatever they want, and he's got to take it, you know. And was there any way around it? I don't know. But I do know WWE supports him. Triple H after the show saying he's, in quote unquote, incredibly proud of CM Punk. I'm privileged to watch him grow as a human being, to step out here and apologize to the people of Saudi, to just cherish where he is in life and his career and the things that he gets to do and the opportunities that he has. And I was incredibly proud of him. So there you go on that. Triple H proud of CM Punk. A lot of you see a lot of things get said on social, and a few things I saw, of course, were this is Triple H's long-term revenge, making CM Punk apologize as part of their issues in the past. And then also there's a funny clip I finally saw of Triple H saying what we do at press conferences as a loop you can find on X right now. That is pretty funny. It's what we do. So yeah, WWE moves on this week, and we'll talk more about that in the week ahead in just a couple minutes. And of course, we have Cody Rhodes, Jade Cargill moving on to SummerSlam, their respective King and Queen of the Ring titles. Of course, we had figured that. They had their crowns and everything, so we're going to get Cody against Cena at SummerSlam. We'll talk more about Cena in just a minute. We had Solo Sikoa winning the United States title, which, you know, seemed a little bit early, but as people have pointed out, when you're going to debut someone like Hikuleo, you want to have impact, and he did just that at WWE Night of Champions, and the Bloodline angle storyline continues. Again, I have no idea what ring we're in, probably in the sixth, and it feels like this needs a conclusion at some point so everyone can just do some different things, and I just don't have the confidence it's going to happen anytime soon. I think we have seen the seams and have been seeing the seams on this a little bit, especially with some of the bigger players out. How does it end? Where does it end? They want to end spectacularly. That would be a Rock versus Reigns kind of final battle type thing. Could be a Street Fighter. Who knows? Reigns rumored to be joining that cast of the movie. So who knows where it's going to be and where it turns out. But or is it going to be a forever feud, right? And just going to have more people coming in and out, and factions and when to break them up and all that are such a fascinating thing in wrestling. We see that all across the board, and ones that stay too long, ones that get broken up and kind of how you weave things in to really hit that apex at the right time. I don't know if they're going to do it with the Bloodline, but we'll see. And yeah, that kind of wraps up King of the Ring. And now let's talk a little bit about John Cena. So John Cena, I was thinking about this during my walk today, has 16 dates remaining, as I've seen out there, 16 dates. So how are these 16 remaining dates going to go? And I say that because we've got half a year left, right? You do the math, half a year. So we have, let's see. So I was kind of looking at this today. The big question is he going to be on Saturday Night's Main Event in July? Because if so, I'm thinking, so initially I kind of plot out 2 dates for July, 4 dates for August, 1 for September, 3 for October, 3 for November, and 3 for December, which is 9, 10, 16. Yes, correct. I can do math. Good job, Western Maine education. So I don't know if he's going to be on Saturday Night's Main Event or not, because there's no, that's the only like PLE style, like, they have obviously Evolution, which is a women's show, but Saturday Night's Main Event is kind of the only like show for the month. I don't know if he's going to be on Raw. So, but even if you give him, I said he's not, but I did say, of course, he's going to be 2 dates because SummerSlam, if you have not, if you've forgotten, is Saturday, August 2nd, Sunday, August 3rd. So he's going to be facing Cody Rhodes. I'm going to give him, 2 dates. I'm going to give him 3 dates building up that. So 2 dates in July and that last go home show, which would be Friday, August 1st. And then we have Clash in Paris, which he's on the poster for, and there's no doubt he'll be there. So August 31st. And so I'm going to give him, that'll be the other 2 dates there. So it'd be three, actually it'd be only 1 date. You know what? I might bump that back live and do 5 dates in August and 0 dates in September. And the reason I say 0 dates in September is because there's no WB events, PLEs or Saturday Night's Main Event or anything like that announced for September as of this point. The next event after that is Crown Jewel in Perth. And Crown Jewel in Perth is Sunday, October 11th. So I gave him 3 for that month, the event itself, and then 2 SmackDown dates or 2 whatever dates before and after. And then you have November. So November is obviously Survivor Series. So it's November 29th. So that would be, he's going to be there. No doubt about it. There's 0% chance he's not going to be there to try to help fill up Petco Park in San Diego. So I gave him 3 dates there, 2 dates of build, 1 date of event, and then also 3 dates in December, which, again, friends, that'll be his last month in the business, or last month as an active wrestler, if you believe everything. So again, the final event, which is, he said, or he has not said, but his dad has said, the one and only John Cena Sr., has said it's going to be at the TD Garden in Boston. WWE does not have a PLE announced for that. It most likely will be a Saturday Night's Main Event. So we will see what happens there, but obviously he's going to make a couple Raw or SmackDown appearances, probably one of each. And then the final show, and that's it. So I'm going over this, and even in real time, is trying to figure out how do you figure all these dates in with matches and so on. So I'm going to guess he has, 5 matches left, maybe 6. And then the rest of them are just actual, you know, promos and appearances and so on and so forth. But we don't have a lot of Cena left, and it's hard to figure out. So I can see him losing in August and then not appearing at all in September because he's going to, you know, lick his, actually he'll appear at, so he could do a rematch with Cody, maybe the end of August, or maybe he skips that. No, we can't skip Clash in Paris. You see how hard this is to figure out? It's very difficult to figure out, especially live on the radio. He also has to start pushing Peacemaker, which is August 21st. And that comes out of Max, and that'll be the second season. But how's he going to do? I guess he's going to do that in the midst of the Clash in Paris build. So he's got a busy time coming. But I could see him being done, or at least nothing going on in September, unless there's something there that they announce. So that's kind of me plotting out some Cena dates. And what do you think? What do you think? Me has more dates than I did in college. Speaking of other dates, TNA has some dates. And we follow up on this story. So last week, I lamented TNA. I said, you know, what's after Slamversary? What's going on? They got nothing coming up. Something going on, something we have to worry about, something we have to speculate about. Well, no, we do not have that at all because TNA has announced two more PLE dates or streaming dates or whatever you want to call them after Slammiversary. So it looks like they're going quarter by quarter, give or take. So Emergence is coming in August 15th, Friday, August 15th from Baltimore, Maryland. And they also have Victory Road coming up at the end of September from beautiful Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. So those two dates are coming up. So they do have some stuff out there. So we now have essentially the third quarter of the, actually not the full third quarter because they have August and or October, November, but we do have some dates. So TNA will be continuing their road to Victory Road or Slammiversary coming up in Long Island. That is less than a month away as we speak. And it looks like, you know, we're going to have Mike Santana probably and Joe Hendry and Trick Williams for the main event. How else are they going to be loaded up for that show? Also, how is speaking of shows coming up, we'll flip back to WWE for a minute. What's going on with Evolution and how badly did Liv Morgan being hurt affect this show? Screwing up, you know, potentially the Bella's return. And of course, she didn't certainly mean to do this, but they have July 12th and July 13th to figure out. And of course, Bill Goldberg doing their time on the 12th, but this July 13th show, what is their headliner going to be? And are they going to try to go back to the past? Are they going to try to maybe just do something different and say, we're going to do Becky versus Charlotte? Probably not, but how do you make it big? Are you going to be able to sell that place out? Cause you don't want a bad attendance in the State Farm Arena. And I don't think you'll get it, but you got to do something big. So what will that be? They have less than a month, like 3 weeks to less than 3 weeks to figure this thing out. And I don't think they have a lot of announced yet. I think JC Jane and Jordan Grace is coming up, but you still got a lot more to fill. And of course you don't want to screw up your other plans. So there's a lot for WWE to figure out there. But of course, TNA has got their schedule set, and who knows, perhaps the Knockouts will come save the day. But I do expect a pretty substantial NXT presence at that July 20th anniversary show. And who knows, maybe a WWE superstar. We've not really seen that yet, I don't think. So maybe time to help them out a little bit. So I'm interested to talk about that partnership a little bit more with Carlos, the CEO of TNA. Maybe we'll make that happen at some point down the road. And before we head to the break, I did want to give a shout out to my friend Mark Raimondi. I briefly mentioned it last week, but the book is available now. Say Hello to the Bad Guys, a book all about the history of the one and only NWO. Mark, a reporter for ESPN, currently on the Atlanta Falcons beat of all things after being a long time MMA writer. And it's a really entertaining book, a very easy book to read. Good beach read, I would say. It's, you know, it's a lot of stuff that you and I have probably, that we already know, but it's compiled a nice thing and a nostalgic itch. And I think for casual fans, I think it's really going to be a big hit. And yeah, it's pretty entertaining and a good look back at a history of time, which was so, so formative in wrestling and pop culture and so on and so forth. So pick that up. I'm getting no kickback from this, I will tell you that. But yeah, Say Hello to the Bad Guys, Mark Raimondi, available at your bookstores, Amazon, and all the like. When we come back, AEW and all types of other stuff as well. Come right back. Wrestling Observer Live, back in a second. Back with you, Wrestling Observer Live for Sunday, June 29th. My name is Josh Nason, filling in for the last time, and I guess a while, for Andrew Zarian, who is due back next week. It's been a pleasure sitting around here, hanging out with you guys, and hopefully you've been enjoying the shows. If so, please let me know at Josh Nason on Twitter or Blue Sky, and let the bosses know as well, Brian Alvarez, Dave Meltzer, Andrew himself, whoever, that you've been enjoying the shows. I greatly appreciate that. And if you missed part of the show, we've talked about a lot. Night of Champions, John Cena, CM Punk, John Cena's schedule, dates, TNA, and John Cena. And all types of other stuff as well. We're going to chat about more. If you missed this, you can find it always in the archives at WrestlingObserver.com. If you're a subscriber, you can listen to it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on our website. You just search for Wrestling Observer. You can listen to this show. So that's a thanks from me for hanging in. And also, if you're listening on Sports Byline, if you're listening to this live on the radio right now or on the app at iHeart or TuneIn, a replay comes up right after this. So stick around. You can hear the first show and everything that you missed, or you just listen to the show again. Why not, right? Let's get to AEW, who is always seems to have these milestone shows really in close proximity to major events. They have All In coming up in a couple weeks in Texas. They had some good news with their gate this week. But then also two big milestones to them, Dynamite 300 and Collision 200. Sorry, I keep saying Collision 200. I think I said that earlier. Collision 100. Yes, 100. CM Punk was around for the first one, and boy, it seemed to be a long road to get to 100. But Dynamite 300, I think I was at the show in Boston, their debut in Boston. I was either the second or the third one. It might have been the second one. I always confuse it because AEW Dark, I believe, was the second Dark, or maybe the first one. The Kenny Omega, Joey Janela lights out match, which is like, why are we doing lights out match? But it was a lot of fun. Assume you can still watch it on YouTube or maybe in the archives or something like that. Somewhere, hopefully you can watch that match. But yeah, it's Dynamite 300 coming up on this Wednesday. It's hard to believe. They're maligned at times. They're lauded at times, which they should be. I've had plenty of criticism for them, also a lot of praise. But look, they're here, and 300 episodes is nothing to sneeze at. They blew past Nitro, a show I was at in Boston just a couple weeks ago. So, I mean, look, you can't deny it. They're going to be around here for a while, and we'll be talking, I'm sure, about episode 400. I think we'll be still under this current deal. And then 500, we'll see. A lot of questions with the world of broadcasting before we get there. But we finally have some matches announced. If you remember last week, you and I, we talked about how Tony Khan doesn't seem to like to announce matches until like in the middle of the night, the day before the show, which I always find so suspect because, and just strange because you're trying to sell out your show. And I just don't think there's that strong brand wise to just sell it out. Maybe they figure for an 1800 seat venue or 2000 seat venue, whatever they're running in Kent, Washington, that they were. Yeah. I don't know. So they have announced some matches. I'm sure there's more to come on this Dynamite 300. I'm not be surprised if all of a sudden they add on another half an hour, because that seems to be what happens. But so far, we have Kazuchika Okada versus Kota Ibushi, rekindling their classic rivalry from the rings of New Japan back years ago. Always a question in my mind with whether or not fans today care about that. What if they didn't watch New Japan? I didn't. I just know that because I did a story on it for the website. And I just kind of just know from listening to Wrestling Observer Radio and following on with the industry. But to the average fan, do they care about Okada Ibushi? Is it a big match, or is it really just a big match for, you know, a Tony Khan type who was watching back then, still watches New Japan now as a partner of theirs? I'm not really sure. So we'll find out. We also have TBS champion Mercedes Moné defending against Mina Shirakawa. And we also have what should be a very fun all-in men's casino gauntlet qualifier. So the winner of this match is definitely in the casino gauntlet. This is for the second spot in the gauntlet. Makes sense. MJF taking on Brody King, Anthony Bowens, and AR Fox. So I don't think there's any doubt that MJF is going to win this match unless there's some sort of storyline where King wins instead or something. I don't think they're doing like an MJF losing storyline anytime soon. So I'm going to guess MJF wins, which makes a lot of sense because of this feud with Mark Briscoe, which apparently Fightful report he had wanted to do for quite some time. And Mark Briscoe being the number one entrance. So yeah, we're going to see that. And MJF needs something big to do at All In. So I could see him winning the whole casino gauntlet. Why not? But yeah, they'll start this Wednesday with him, assuming he's going to win the gauntlet, and then move on to All In and take on Mark Briscoe to start with, and we'll see how long that gauntlet goes. But so far, that's it for the 300th episode. So again, have some coffee or set your alarms, get up early, because those matches are going to come probably like around, I don't know, 11:30 p.m. Eastern through 5 a.m. Eastern on Tuesday into Wednesday morning, usually how it goes. Why? I do not know. We do have a match announced for AEW Collision 100. Which is, I think it's just FTR. We have one. FTR taking on the Outrunners. That is also going to be taped after AEW Dynamite 300. So it's going to be a long night for wrestling action in Ontario, California, coming up this Wednesday. So yeah, that's all we have announced for this week. But yeah, two big milestones and not a lot of action announced for those shows as of yet. Of course, we have Supercard of Honor. We see some of those matches. We have All In, which is starting to get their card populated. But what do you think about Bryan Danielson coming back twice over this last week? One, it was shown actually with the ROH CMLL Global Wars helping out Blue Panther and attacking Shane Taylor Promotions. And then you also had him come out and accept the Max Caster Open Challenge after the show on this past Wednesday. They did a dual taping with Dynamite and Collision. That has not made air yet. I don't believe it's even made on YouTube yet. But certainly, you know, people got enough footage of it and all that. And some people are saying, why don't you save that for All In? I expect he's going to make some sort of appearance at All In, likely in that main event. We're talking about run-ins and referee bumps and all that. I mean, we're probably going to see that All In as well. So get ready, especially with the Death Rider. So I'll get to complain in just a couple of weeks as well. But I'm sure Bryan Danielson, who the Death Riders took out back in October, makes a storyline sense for him to come back and perhaps assist his former rival in Hangman Page for that show. But All In looks to be around 19,000 tickets just sold so far, 2.5 million gate thus far. So some big stuff there. And yeah, that AEW, another big week ahead. Just wish they had a little bit more in the bank with announcements. Let's flip to something I want to chat about. It really caught my eye, which was kind of the changing media landscape. It's always changing. Websites shutting down, podcasts changing, people retiring, all that stuff. But really, especially with MMA, it was kind of a rough week and kind of a telling week in some aspects, even though UFC is still, you know, as hot as ever. But media outlets are kind of like moving away from it. So this week, Busted Open, the famed wrestling show on Sirius XM, which was part of Fight Nation. Busted Open did this campaign where it was kind of, it's total wrestling. So basically, Busted Open is Sirius is doing a 24-hour wrestling channel now. They're replacing Fight Nation with what they're calling Pro Wrestling Nation, some expanded program we'll talk about in just a second. But a big part of that, of course, is Busted Open. They did a campaign last week saying, you know, if we get enough tweets or what have you, we're going to go 24/7, and the fans are going to make this happen. Well, it definitely was decided before that because some people actually got their shows cut from Fight Nation. Someone that I actually know, RJ Clifford, and it'd been we worked for like same publication before and so on and so forth. But his show actually just ended completely. So I don't think it was something that just kind of came about. But yeah, Busted Open is going, they're going 24/7. And one thing I noticed in this lineup, and I have no heat with the boys from Busted Open. Dave LaGreca has been doing this for a while, and he's a survivor, man. You know, he's still doing his thing and has really kind of rebooted and restructured and changed his thing. And Denise Salcedo used to be our website. She's doing some stuff for them as well. So this lineup is a lot of, WWE friendlies, so to speak. So you have Tommy Dreamer, who's with TNA, WWE partner. You have Mark Henry, someone I've talked to before on my podcast. Very WWE friendly, of course. His son is under an NIL contract. We have, who else? Bubba Ray, Bully Ray, who is involved in the LFG show and has been on NXT and so forth. Very, very WWE favorite. Natalya, under WWE contract, has her own show on this. We have, who else? Sam Roberts, who does stuff with WWE. Peter Rosenberg, who does stuff with WWE. And then Jonathan Coachman, for some reason, is doing a show still on this network. So, and Denise is doing some stuff and so on. So, yeah, we've seen, it's kind of interesting how there's not a lot of representation from other organizations and not a lot of neutral people. Maybe that's kind of the point. I saw a lot of chatter about this on social that it's very WWE propaganda heavy and so on. So, you know, I'm not a huge listener to the show, but we'll take that for what it is. But yeah, they dropped their MMA coverage and they dropped their boxing coverage. And I believe I saw one of the boxing shows has moved to another network or something within Sirius. But the MMA show, which is MMA Today, so RJ Clifford had been Sirius for 15 years. Last week was his last show. And it's unknown how many layoffs came out of the change and so on, but his show was not moved. So that's a bummer for him. So he's going to try to figure that out. But it is wild to me that with MMA and really UFC being as hot as it is, Sirius is just kind of walking away from it and not doing anything. Now it's a change of the times, and it is changing media landscape. There's so many podcasts and YouTube and, you know, everything in between. It is so easy to find what you want now, but Sirius XM is not saying that with wrestling, even though there's, there's no shortage of opinions like this one or YouTube shows or podcasts or anything like that. They're saying we're not doing less, we're doing more, 24 hours worth. Granted, that's not original or first run. It's going to be a lot of replays and so on. But still, that's notable. And also, Kevin Ioli hung up the writing boots on Saturday with UFC 317. And yeah, he announced his retirement. He had been going. He went independent I believe Yahoo did some layoffs, I think it was last year, or could have been this year. Time just flies. And so, but Kevin's done. He went on his own. I think he was doing a Patreon or Substack or something. Maybe he's just going independent and not a long run. And he's hanging it up. He's done. And Kevin was a long time boxing guy, MMA guy, UFC guy, relationships with everyone, doing this for decades. Dave Meltzer, a huge fan of Kevin Iola. He was on my podcast a long, long time ago. And he and Dave are been friends for a long time. But it's wild that someone with that much experience, and we see this in other mediums as well, in other sports, where people have these opportunities and just built up this credibility and this body of work, and they can't be used elsewhere. No one's interested in bringing them on, either for money reasons, perhaps relationship reasons, anything, and they can't get a job. And I don't believe, in my heart of hearts, I don't think Kevin doesn't have anything left to contribute to the business. But it's wild. He's just done after just like that. So best of luck to Kevin. And yeah, the landscape keeps changing. You never know who's going to retire, who's going where, what's going to happen. Money is such a big thing now. It is pretty wild. It is pretty wild. All right, we have a break coming up. But when we come back, we're going to look at the week ahead and see what's happening for this 4th of July week. A lot of wrestlers are off. Thank goodness. Getting some much-earned time off for the 4th of July holiday. We'll chat about that. Real quick, I did not mention it yet. A shout out to the Speaking Out movement, which began 5 years ago. Wanted to acknowledge that. It helped get a lot of bad people out of wrestling. Hasn't really been talked about by media at all. Shame on all of us. I think a few people talked about it. Actually, John Pollock and Brian Thurston talked about it a couple weeks on their show, their podcast you can find. But it was a part of a look it up, Speaking Out Wrestling. You find a ton of stuff on Wikipedia and articles and so on. So I hope it helped a little bit. It's really up to the industry itself to say whether it did or not and those in it, but it's quite a dark time and hopefully have a little bit more sunlight now, but it's up to all of us to keep that going and in the years ahead. Wrestling Observer Live coming right back after this. Back with you, Wrestling Observer Live for Sunday, June 29th, final segment. My name is Josh Nason. Again, thank you so much for joining me this week and for the past month as I filled in through Andrew Zarian, as I keep trying to say. Verbal slip. I don't know why I keep saying it, but I'm doing it. And he's been gracious enough to, just let me run with this. And I hope everyone had fun. You can follow me, Josh Nason, on X or Blue Sky, NASON. I greatly appreciate it. Of course, you can follow us on Wrestling Observer on those outlets as well, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, wherever there's social media in this world. I don't think we're on True Social yet, but all these other places you can find us and so on and so forth. Coming up the week ahead, we have a usual kind of week of TV, nothing too crazy. We have Raw coming up on Monday. We have SmackDown, I believe, being taped after that, so everyone can go home for the 4th of July week. Very nice of TKO. NXT taped from last week. You can find the spoilers on our website if you will. AEW Dynamite 300, Collision 100. Hey, I got it, being taped after that. Collision will air in its usual slot on Saturday. Thursday, of course, Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, or slash TNA Impact, rather. And we'll, as their build Slamversary continues. And then SmackDown on Friday. So we'll have Monday and Friday being the fallout from Night of Champions, CM Punk, John Cena, and the like. And of course, the build to All In for AEW and Ring of Honor, of course, continue their build to Supercard of Honor. So we're in build mode. You know, it's this week. It's kind of a slow week, so I don't expect any huge headlines. Watch that's going to happen, and the world blows up. But it's going to be hopefully a normal week in wrestling as we build to all these big shows next. And we're going to build to this show next. Wrestling Observer Live coming back, of course, with Andrew Zarian next Sunday, unless you hear otherwise. Have a great week. Again, thank you so much. My name is Josh Nason, and this, my friends, has been Wrestling Observer Live.